We're talking with Marian Rudnick, author of Intersect, a former NASA astronomer, breaks his silence about UFOs. We've just heard him describe the encounter he had, the photos he took. In a moment, we'll hear him tell us what he thinks it is and what it isn't, and then how his life changed, because it really was turned upside down. Someone was clearly upset that he had taken these photos and wouldn't hand them over. We'll be right back with more Coast to Coast AM. Marian, I mentioned before the break that there's a pretty weak attempt to debunk your incident, your photos, that it was some kind of a blimp or something. And the role of debunkers, as you have learned, is just throw something out there and see if it sticks to the wall. And that's the explanation, whether it fits the facts, the known facts or not. It's the same thing like with the Tic Tac case, you know, it's birds, exactly. You know. So talk to me about you put your scientist hat on. You analyzed the available information. You looked at the photos. You figured out the flight path and everything and the direction. And you figured out what information you had. You put it into categories, what it is and what it is not. I don't mean for you to go the whole list of things that you figured out, but give us a sense of what you concluded.
I went through the whole thing of literally plane, blimps, bugs, birds, you know, drones, meteors, even things like, because I know some people, oh, it's just digital artifacts or something. And I think just kind of like what you mentioned with the Nimitz case, what's interesting is that everybody forgets about the fact that there's actually a live person, an observer, seeing this. So for some of these people to say, oh, the camera was creating a digital artifact, and that's what you picked up in the camera. So then I would throw this, I would posture this to them. I was there. I was actually taking pictures of something. There was actually something flying. It wasn't a digital artifact in the camera. I wasn't just taking pictures of empty sky. And the thing that I think was part of the thing that's important about the videos is that, well, and the pictures and the videos, is the pictures are a sequence. So you see the object move across the frame, and you see the video, even though the video is fuzzy and everything, you see the objects also move. Digital artifacts, let's say like blemishes or burned out pixels and everything, have a specific XY coordinate on the grid of the CCD chip. They don't move across the frame. So I've debunked the debunkers as far as I'm concerned. And everything else, it's just ridiculous. It might as well be swamp gas and everything else. These are silent craft that were moving under their own controlled power. You could sense intelligence in their movement. That's beyond a doubt. I could see that for myself clearly. And then the details were just startling. And I think this is the fact that, like you had mentioned about the fact that one of the crafts was damaged, I think becomes key in what happened when I revealed this, by accident to Space Command, and that's Air Force Space Command.
Well, let's talk about that, how it happened. You kept this pretty close to the vest. You were only telling a few people close to you, and then it got out, and suddenly you find yourself on the phone with who?
Stanton Friedman, and also Bob Wood, Dr. Bob Wood, and it was just amazing. This is before it was Space Command. Well, all these things sort of happened at the same time. The first person I talked to was actually my brother, because it's like, okay, now all of a sudden the UFO nut is no longer a UFO nut. He's a UFO resource. And he's the only person I knew to talk to. But there's a part of me who wanted to sort of scream it from the mountaintops. Oh, my God, I've actually seen these things. They're actually real. Oh, my gosh. And then there's the other part of me, like the military part of me, and the part of me that grew up with a dad who worked in the CIC, in the Counterintelligence Corps, that was like, no, you better be very, very careful about what you say and what you reveal. And my brother told me about Stanton Friedman, and it's ironic because I told him, Stanton Friedman? I was like, oh my gosh, I know, I remember that. And if you read the book, there's a full circle that I won't spoil for the readers, but it turns out that I already had met Stanton Friedman. He was one of the people that I ran into during my NASA career. So all of a sudden, I had to make peace with Stanton Friedman. So I tracked him down. I sent him an email in the middle of the night. And literally a couple hours late, the first thing in the morning, he responded. And before you knew it, we were on the phone. And we talked like all afternoon for several hours. And I just laid it out. I said, you know what? you were so and so, and you came and visited JPL NASA, and we ran into each other, and you were a bull in the China shop, and oh my gosh, and blah blah blah, and I thought this and that of you, and he just laughed. He said, yeah, you know, I can be gruff and all of that, I understand, and it's all good. And we found up, you know, two aerospace people, we just had a lot in common, and we really, really hit it off. And then we just started sort of breaking down my encounter and what happened and analyzing it. And he said, you know, we got to get Bob Wood in on this. And so then he gave me Bob Wood's contact information. But then it's sort of the first chink in where I started realizing that weird things and bad things were about to happen. And I saw it, but I didn't realize just how bad it could get, because I told my brother that I'd contacted him. He's like, oh, what did you do that for? I told you not to talk to anybody and everything. But it's Stanton Friedman. He's all, yes, but this is also about Space Command and that's a problem. And with Space Command, the way, flashing back as far as how that got outed, was I went to dinner with a friend, and this person, I showed the person the pictures that I had. This person had someone in Space Command that was family. And then this person had me come over to their house, and before I knew it, I was on FaceTime. They said, "Oh, talk to my friend," and I started talking. And then all of a sudden, it turned out to be a family member. And then that person put the Space Command person on, and is like, "Oh, so you're Marion Rudnick, who took pictures of this? Could you pick up the phone, please, and don't turn it towards your laptop?" Because I had brought my laptop with me. So I complied. I said, "Okay, sure." You know, I didn't know a lot about Space Command and who they were and what they were capable of, Air Force Space Command. So I, you know, part of me didn't think it was a big deal. Part of me realized this is probably a really big deal, but at this point I'm just sort of stuck. So I turned the camera around and I showed them. This is the one picture, two pictures, all the pictures, and then the video. And then, of course, just like yourself, they asked for 1680. Could you show that one again and zoom in on it? And on the disc, you know, and you could see the details. And he's like, and the answer was just striking. You know, all of a sudden, and I quote, "Yep, that sucker's real, all right. Here's what you're going to do, Marion." And I quote, he's like, "You're going to turn all this over to us, and you're not going to say anything to anyone."
Huh.
And I, for the most part, except for Stanton Friedman and Bob Wood, I kind of complied, but things started getting bad really quickly, because as I tried to get the information to Bob Wood, nothing worked. I tried to email him. The emails wouldn't go through. I did postal mail to send it on DVD. It didn't go through. I tried FedEx. The FedEx just disappeared. And it finally escalated to the point where I just told them, I go, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep trying and everything, but I'm going to keep trying. In the meantime, the family members and the people that I know were putting pressure on me to turn over, because I was hemming and hawing, as your tease so eloquently put it, on turning over the information and actually handing over the actual originals of the pictures and the video over. And because I realized once I did that, I didn't know what was going to happen next, because they really would have the information. So ultimately, I sent them the pictures, but I didn't send the video right away. I hung on the video, and I just sort of weaseled and said the video's too big to send. I'm having technical problems, which they didn't accept. They said, we want the video, and they kept pushing and pushing and pushing. So finally, February 2nd, I think, it was right around there, late in the evening, I went ahead and I relented, and I sent the video. And the next day, I get a phone call from this person who's like, first an email and then a phone call. It's like, okay, a family member who the spouse of the Space Command person overheard the Space Command person saying that F-18s are coming to you. I'm like, what are F-18s? They're like, I don't know. The person doesn't know. They just said F-18s. Just beware of F-18s. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to think of that. You know, F-18s. It's like, 'cause it was the way it was told to me, I didn't put together at first. I thought later on, after I hung up, maybe F-18s? Why would F-18s come out here? And then later on that night, my mom just screamed, "Marion, Marion, quick, come to the TV!" And CBS News had their headline thing, "F-18s unexpectedly land at Bob Hope Burbank Airport." And it turns out that That was actually the second squadron that landed. And that second squadron was two planes, two F-18F Super Hornets. And interestingly, on the footage, the news footage, you can plainly see that one of the planes was piloted and commanded by a lieutenant. You're going to love this, Lieutenant Zachary Murderface Sutherland. And his co-pilot, Lieutenant Peak Halfman Harris, whatever that means. But the real, real interesting connection, which didn't happen until December of that year, almost, 11 months later, which is kind of interesting, is that there was a first squadron that arrived in the morning that the news didn't report on, but it was all over social media. And that was that there was a squadron of four F-18s that had landed prior to that in the morning. So the second squadron that I mentioned was the Fighting Checkmates, and they had flown out from Virginia, and that's the ones that the news had reported on. And supposedly NORAD made a statement that they had no, it was an unexpected landing, and they had no comment on why they were there. The first squadron that arrived in the morning and had received no media attention was the Fighting Redcocks. And those four planes, three of them were labeled. One was an unmarked gray plane, which only the letters NK on the tail. And the interesting thing, the connection, why I mentioned that it's connected to December of 2017, is that those planes came from the Nimitz aircraft carrier.
Well, I was going to say the F-18s, that's a naval plane mostly, or I don't know if it's exclusively, but and all those guys, those pilots, fighter pilots, they all got nicknames they earn or give each other. So
So the fact that they would fly two F-18s all the way from Virginia, and then a squadron from the Nimitz was just it's fascinating. They would come all the way out here, but what I didn't understand was why would they come out here? Part of me was still wrestling with the question of, as you said, like, well, what are these? What did I think they were? And I was still torn, well, maybe it's something our own versus something that's from beyond our planet. And I was on the fence on that. And then I had a friend who's a DOD-related work person that I was able to reach out to that came over and saw the footage and was just mortified. And said, "You have got to shut up." Was their words. You shouldn't be talking about any of this. You shouldn't be whatever. And like, well, look, answer me. Can you answer me this? Is it ours, or is it from quote unquote out there? And he wouldn't answer. And then just said, "Think about it. Think logically. Planes came out here," and he's all. The person said, "This is And I thought, oh, you know what? One craft was struggling. This is about craft recovery. And then the pieces just started just dominoing into place. If it was, if it had been something that the military already knew about, if it was one of our own craft, it was very easy. There would have been no surprise. There would have been no aircraft coming out here. And these F-18s were here for a week, mind you. This is what people don't realize. They were doing hourly overflies over Monrovia, Pasadena, and these hills, these foothills, again and again, every hour in the hour, in sorties, in paired sorties, again and again and again. And these F-18Fs are equipped with things like ATARs, electro-optical reconnaissance packages, with synthetic aperture radar that can do ground mapping. These are like heavy-duty planes, and there are others. There's a E-11A Bacon, I call it BACN, which is a command control aircraft that was also seen on the tarmac and everything. It was coordinating activities. So I thought, wait, this is crash recovery, and this is not our own. Why would I say that it's not our own definitively? Because the event happened on January 1st, and they're here on February 2nd and 3rd. So this is a month later. They would have already quietly recovered their, if it was their own craft, recovered it. And me simply having a video of pictures would have been like, no problem. We don't care about that. But they did care, and they did send aircraft to investigate. And I don't know what they found or didn't find, but they were here for a week.
Were they flying over your house? You said they were flying over the general area. Are they buzzing? Because we're going to get into that next about other aircraft that are flying all around. Yeah.
So yeah, they were buzzing the house.
Did you see this as intimidation? They were messing with you, trying to get your attention?
No, at that point, it was more curiosity because I just didn't. Even though I was having problems, you know, getting information to like Dr. Bob Wood, I didn't think it was intimidating. I just thought they were actually looking for the craft, and so I was just basically just going outside and, you know, watching the aerial activity. I didn't cross my mind as intimidation, at least not then, not yet. That changed dramatically as time wore on. But at the initial outset and everything, it seemed like they were just really determined to find whatever was in the hills, and they seemed to be convinced that that craft that damaged the one had gone down. Otherwise, they wouldn't spend that much time, not a whole week, searching for nothing.
But eventually, you've got a bunch of different kinds of craft and personnel around you that are clearly paying attention, trying to get your attention and messing with you, right?
Yes, very much so. Things escalated. I had another sighting, but I stayed quiet. And then things started happening. I'll let the readers read in the book and everything where the MIBs or MIBs, who I call MIB goons in the book. There's a good reason for that. When you read it, you'll find out. They made an appearance by November, and my phone started having problems. It's just everything started caving in and dominoing, just getting worse and worse. But it was weird when the Gimbal and FLIR 1 videos came out in December. It was like a switch, and everything stopped, as if nothing had happened. All my electronics worked again. My smartphone came to life all of a sudden. Everything was just like everything was fine. And then when the next year in 2018, in March, when the GoFast video came on, it's like all hell broke loose. Everything stopped working. Everything stopped this. And then I Blackhawks started showing up. And my first encounter with a Black Hawk, which I'll be detailing in my second book, just swooped in. They started buzzing my house. Other aircraft started showing up. And they're all tied to UFO events because I started basically looking up. It's that simple. And actually paying attention to what was above me instead of having my face in daily events and in the smartphone or something, I started looking up. And the fact that my smartphone didn't work anymore made it really easy.
Your phone, computers, you get kicked off of Twitter and Facebook. It's somebody's really messing with you. It's not an accident.
Yeah, all the social media got shut down. I go through all that in the book. And by 2019, all hell had broken loose on me. We're talking Venoms, Vipers. These are all types of helicopters that were here, battlefield helicopters. That were making appearances, regular overflights over the house, and they would take dives. Some of these helicopters would take dives at me, so I would get pictures and videos. And some of this actually I posted today on Twitter, as a matter of fact.
You've got a lot of photos of different helicopters in this book, Intersect, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the other kinds of harassment with Marian Rudnick, a former NASA astronomer who saw something amazing, and then his life went upside down. Marian Rudnick had his own encounters. He photographed one. In fact, he photographed two different instances, and his life was really turned upside down. Seemed like someone was trying to sabotage his income, put a lot of pressure on him, intimidate him in a variety of ways. He's followed. All of his communications equipment gets cut off or sabotaged or shut down, and it was a real mess for a while, and then things changed. 2 years ago this month, in a very radical way, when the New York Times comes out with a story about TTSA, not TTSA, but about ATIP and the Tic Tac and secret Pentagon studies, things of that sort. We're going to get into that timeline right after this, and then we'll get to your calls and questions and comments for my guest as well. Be right back. Marian, not to belabor this, but somebody was really messing with you. You couldn't make a phone call. You couldn't send an email. You're kicked off Twitter and Facebook. These accounts are closed. All of these things happening while you're having this aerial surveillance and helicopters buzzing your house and people following you around. And at one point, we can get into it maybe in a bit, you confronted some of the guys who were following you in a parking lot, which was, I thought, was pretty brave. And it's clearly somebody was messing with you on an ongoing basis. And then you say in the book about the New York Times story, when that came out, it changed things for you, at least for a little bit, right?
Yeah, it was like a switch went off, and all of a sudden everything just sort of stopped, and everything seemed to be okay. As a matter of fact, my DOD contact simply said, well, if you're going to say anything, now's the time for you to talk, because everything seems to be calm. But I don't know why the Go Fast video was such a game changer, but when it was released in March of 2018, it was like somebody flipped the switch, and everything came back and came back with a fury. And 2018 was just an escalation of bad things happening to me. And then by September 30th, I have footage of a black triangle over this area, and then other crafts showing up, and then more military aircraft, and more than orbs. And I have and in the book there's a sequence that I show of a helicopter that was circling an orb. That orb was hanging literally over a neighborhood, Foothill neighborhood here, maybe about not even two blocks from my house. And you could see the helicopter going in circles, and then other helicopters joined it, and the military helicopter swept in. And I was so focused on filming the helicopters, I didn't notice the orb until I looked at the footage, like, oh my God, that's what they're circling. And so it's like, okay, mental note, when you see helicopters circling, and if they're at night and if they're putting their floodlights ahead of them, not at the ground, they're looking at something in the sky. And that turned out to be extremely true. But by this year, things escalated just a whole new level. And it just seemed like there was this aerial tug of war in the sky of things, of unknown craft appearing and military craft appearing nearly simultaneously or reacting to their appearances. And on the ground, as far as me being followed and everything, on March 28th of this year, and there's a picture in the book of a, I guess what we could call a female MIB, some sort of agent, and I've been able to identify her as Air Force, because in the book, I got very, very, very clear pictures of her. This is a lady that literally pulled up right across the street from the house with this, you know, multiple $1,000 digital photo rig, was shooting pictures deep into the house through the windows and everything, because there's a lot of windows in the house. And the only reason I know is because my mom got my attention, so I crawled on the floor out of sight to a vantage point on the side of the house where she couldn't see me, and I started shooting pictures and video of her. So I was able to actually get really, really clear pictures, including of her face, and was able to identify her definitely as being Air Force. Now, there are people who know me, and then also even people who don't, who've lashed out when they've seen the picture, that I need to out who this person is and reveal the face and everything, because the picture that's in the book shows the camera in front of her face.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that, because even though this person is probably obviously working for the MIBs or somehow associated with all this stuff, she may do other photo reconnaissance work that are related to national security and things that are important to this country. I don't know. We don't know what other stuff she does. So outing her face and her appearance and exactly who she is, in my opinion right now, is not a good thing. So that's a road I'm not willing to cross, at least right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, because, you know, she is being carrying out orders. You don't know what they've told her about you, why they have to do this surveillance of you. You're a bad guy. You're a spy. You're leaking stuff to Russians, whatever. She's doing what she thinks is her duty. But, yeah, that photo jumped out at me, too, when I saw it. It's clear. I get a lot of people who contact me and say they think they're being followed. You are being followed. You were being followed.
Yeah, and I still am. Since that date, there have been other events, and one in particular on April 17th of this year was the what's been affectionately coined on the internet as the MIP event, Man in Pink, because I still go to the McDiner because it's a local hangout that I enjoy going to, and a cousin of mine had. Was out of come into town. He lives out of town, and had heard about everything, and he's like wanted to see everything for himself. And on the day he came, sure enough, there were helicopters in the sky and the military activity, and he was very, very surprised. And he's like, wonder if a MIB will show up and everything, and blah, 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 blah. And I told him, well, I don't know. Sometimes these people follow me, sometimes not, and everything. And I try to put on a happy face about all this stuff. This is all really serious and really creepy. And and I told him, I go, let's not, like, knock on wood, nothing will happen. And we went to the McDiner eating lunch, and all of a sudden, this man, older gentleman, middle-aged man in a pink shirt shows up. He sits down behind us and everything in the booth next to us, outstretches his hand cartoon style, places a recording device, and then ceremonially taps it, and then sits crosswise so he can monitor us. And so then we started whispering among ourselves that I think this person is actually watching us, that this is one of those MIBs. I go, but I can't believe he's got a pink Hawaiian shirt on. This is just, I go, this can't be real. I go, but you know what? I go, this is a restaurant full of people. What can happen and everything? Let's just push some buttons, and I wonder what will happen. So I just said, okay, just follow my lead. So my cousin's like, okay, you know, and I managed to even get some pictures of this person also. And I will, in the second book, put the pictures out, but I am probably going to block part of the face because of who this person is, though I think this person may not be working for the government anymore because of what happened. Because what happened was, I said, you know, to my cousin, I go, and his name is Marco, by the way. He doesn't mind being mentioned, so I'll mention his name because there are lots of people actually who've been witnessing what I've been witnessing with me. So I told Marco, I go, you know, I go in a really loud voice, UFOs are real. The guy just shut up, like all of a sudden his back straightened, and he turned around towards me. He's like, I can sense him looking, like eyes drilling right into me, but I've still got my eyes focused on Marco, but I can see him, and in the corner of my eye. And I leaned in a little bit towards Marco, and I said, you know what, MIBs are goons. And he just shot up. He's all, excuse if anybody, I apologize for the cuss word, but he's like, that's bullshit. And then it's like, we're like, whoa. He's like, he was just, and then we turn around, he's gone. I don't know how he managed to disappear as fast as he did, but he was gone.
I know that your brother, who was trying to share information with me many months ago, we had trouble communicating, and he was trying to send some stuff and just wasn't able to do it. It never got there. Eventually, we figured out a way, but it was true, at least on my end, it was true. And I wondered, have you ever, you know, you have Space Command on the phone when this first started telling you, you're going to turn this stuff over to us and you're going to keep your mouth shut. And I'm wondering, under what authority? I mean, you're a civilian. This is your property, your photos. Under what authority are they telling you, private citizen, you got to do what we say?
Yeah, I agree, but part of me, I have a lot of military, Army and Marines and Air Force and family and friends. So I kind of wanted to comply, but at the same time, what I didn't understand was that I did stay quiet for a long time through most of 2017. I really didn't say much, and instead, things kept getting worse and worse and worse. So by 2018, somewhere middle of 2018, I decided, you know what, I have to put all this into something that's a digestible form, which is why people are like, why did you write a book? Because I wanted to condense it into something that you could digest and you could understand my story, understand what's happening in one resource. But the book turned out to be just massive. It was literally hundreds of pages because so much had been going on. By the time I was writing it, and I was deep in the middle of it, it was already early 2019, this year, and it was just too big. So I decided to split it into two parts. The first part would focus on 2017 and the main sighting, and then the second part, which is what I've been laboring with, would cover 2018 and 2019. And things are bad, and there's a certain creepiness factor that's crawled into all of this because I've been having bizarre dreams and things that have happened, and the bizarre dreams took a really weird twist. on September 16th of this year, when I'm not going to go into the dream itself right now, but basically in the dream it was spelled out to me that my brother would call me and three military helicopters would arrive, that this would happen the next day. So when I woke up, I was having breakfast with my mom, and I explained the dream in detail and what happened and how it was spelled out to me and all that. And she said, well, that's kind of interesting, but, you know, it's the morning. And all of a sudden, the phone rings, and it's my brother. I pick up the line, and I said, you're calling to tell me that three military aircrafts are coming my way. And he said, yes. How did you know? I go, I'll tell you later and everything. I'm going to go outside and see if I can get pictures and video of them. And I did. Three Black Hawk helicopters swooped in over here, circled around, and then left. And that was just the beginning of more creepiness like that that started happening. I don't know how to process or deal with. This is just really outside. I find it really hard to believe, and yet it keeps, these things like that keep happening again and again, and I'm just speechless.
Well, we'll have to make a point, assuming that I'm able to communicate with you. I'll have to make a point of having you come back when book two is done, and we can continue the conversation. Just try to get in one or two quick calls. We're going to go east of the Rockies. Carol in Tallahassee. Hi, Carol.
Hi, thank you. I always love when you're hosting, George. Thanks.
And hi, thank nice you to meet so you, Carol. Much.
Dr. Rudnick, for your courage and coming out, I've been listening, and bravo to you. Look forward to more information, and I just hate to hear the interference that you and others face, you know, when you come out with information. And it's just, it just appears to me to be so stupid, you know, that the government or whoever is denying what's going on. And I think they have their own ideas. They fear that they are powerless, whatever. Anyway, I don't have a lot of information except that I have an old friend who told his wife, who is a close friend of mine, years ago. He was high up in NASA. You probably know his name, but I hesitate to give it over the air. If you would like to have it, I'll be glad to share my contact information so you can have that.
You can reach out to me to my website at rudnick.com. There's a contact for a private contact form, and I'll be happy to.
Okay, just for your information.
Sure.
I'm not in contact with him at the moment. But he told his wife when he was still employed with JPL, he said, you would not believe what's going on now. And I think you and I have an idea about, you know.
You're very right. And the thing, this actually is an important call. You're highlighting something really important that's been happening to me. Ever since this book has come out, I'm literally flooded with just hundreds and hundreds of people that are reaching out to me, who are seeing things, and actually have developed kind of a network of people here who are actually seeing the same things I am seeing and reporting them. And other people who have had sightings of their own just in general, but are too terrified to come forward. And one person I feel really, really badly about, this person was able to find where some of the unmarked black helicopters were taking off from and managed to get footage of them, and then sent me footage of the helicopters following her and coming down on her. And that was the end of that. And that person's too scared to now do anything anymore. They got intimidated. So it's you know, and then some of my friends that I know, acquaintances, were telling me, you know, we see the helicopters now. You're right. We're looking up and we see the activity. But you know what? This is our tax dollar. You're bringing this on us and everything. We're wasting our money. I'm like, I'm not forcing them to fly at me. I'm not forcing them to go back and forth over these hills for whatever they're looking for or whatever they're patrolling around for. I go, there's something going on, and I don't know. I'm just simply the wrong person in the right place.
I don't understand what the point would be at this stage. You've now told at least a big chunk of the story. They can't put the genie back in the bottle. You know, what are they doing?
My DOD friend simply said that I think that they're angry about the fact that there's somebody that's acting as a spotter that's documenting everything, because they continue to film and video.
Did you ever consider, as all this bad stuff is happening, your income's drying up? They've sabotaged a book project that you had. Did you ever think, maybe this wasn't a good idea, I should just retreat?
Yeah, actually, I almost quit many, many times. And this second book has been sort of a trial by fire, a big time, where I almost quit on it a number of times. But in a twist of irony, one of the things that I actually told some of my contacts and everything in the military world is that, you know what, you're so upset about me filming what I'm and the things that I'm seeing, including the unknown craft, why don't you just hire me? You know, put me on
the
payroll as a spotter for you. This is just ridiculous and everything, and I don't know how long I could keep doing this.
Marian Rudnick, the book is called Intersect. It's a great read. I hope people will check it out. A lot of really fascinating photographs in there as well, and I hope you'll keep us informed and in the loop and come back.
I absolutely will, and just so that your viewers or listeners will know, I'll be doing an UPARS talk. That's the UFO and Paranormal Society of Los Angeles talk on January 21st. And on February 19th, I'll be actually addressing a MUFON conference. So if anybody wants to come up and meet me and talk to me, those are two great opportunities.
Excellent. And we have a link to your website on the Coast to Coast site. So thanks for joining us. When we come back, thank you. Terry Lovelace will be our next guest for the second half of the program. And he also has a riveting personal story that I think you're going to want to hear.